The Shishogi is a compilation of different parts of Dogen Shobogenzo that was put together in the early 20th century, something like 1903. I think in order to give an introduction to Buddhism and Dogen's teaching in particular. It's by no means comprehensive or perfect in the sense that there are... I suppose it is just meant to be an introduction. It doesn't go into some of the more challenging areas of Dogen's teaching. And it doesn't cover everything. Rev. Master Daishin pointed out a few years ago that it doesn't mention meditation. But of course we don't really know, why did someone put it together? Maybe it was for people who were already meditating to point out that there are other areas of Buddhist practice as well. So we don't really know why it hasn't got meditation in it. But it's helpful phrases, paragraphs taken from a lot of the different chapters of the Shobogenzo. Dogen himself was born in 1200 and became a monk at a very early age. And what seemed to be an issue for him from very early on was that in the Tendai school of Buddhism that he was first ordained into, there was the teaching that we are all Buddha. And Dogen's question was, well, if that's the case, why are we having to do all this meditation? Why are we having to practice? And that was a question that stayed with him for years and years and years. And he found that he couldn't come to a resolution of it within the Tendai school. And he went to join a fairly newly established monastery of the Rinzai school, led by a Japanese teacher. And he was there for a number of years, but again found he couldn't resolve that question. If we're Buddha, why are we training? If we're training, we can't be Buddha, can we? And it was that led him to want to travel to China, because he felt that in China, which from the Japanese perspective was very much the source of Buddhism, or the heart of Buddhism in their time, in their area of the world, he felt that there he might be able to find a true teacher who could point him to that. And so he travelled to China. He was a number of years in China, and he studied with a Chinese master there called Zhu Qing. And whilst he was there, he had a significant insight into how the world is, and particularly into this question of training and enlightenment. And it's that he talks about in the beginning of Rules for Meditation, where his understanding of it is not that we're training in order to reach enlightenment, but that training and enlightenment aren't two different things. Buddha is always already here, and training is not a question of finding Buddha, it's expressing Buddha. It's making the Buddha that's already here a reality in our lives, so that we know the Buddha that is already this existence. And so that, for Dogen, that's how he brings together those two aspects of already being Buddha and yet needing to practice. He doesn't say there isn't a need to practice. That would be just to hold on to an ideal or to ignore human nature. He, in fact, emphasises the fact we do need to practice, but we do need to practice in order to realise the Buddha that's already here, in order to express it, in order to know how to live from it. It's not that there's anything missing, it's just that we have confusion, we have clouded vision, we don't see things quite as they are. And so the process of training is one of coming to see more and more clearly what this Buddha that's already here is, rather than trying to reach out for something or gain something that we don't yet have. And that difference in perspective makes all the difference to what the basis of meditation is. So meditation is not an attempt to gain something, not an attempt to achieve something. It's simply sitting down and looking at what is already here. Sitting and looking at the nature of this being, the nature of our mind, the nature of existence here and now. And this is also something that he talks about in the opening of the Shishogi. He says, the most important question for all Buddhists is how to understand birth and death completely. For then, should you be able to find the Buddha within birth and death, they both vanish. All you have to do is realise that birth and death as such should not be avoided, and they will cease to exist for then. If you can understand that birth and death are nirvana itself, there is not only no necessity to avoid them, but also nothing to search for that is called nirvana. And this is another way of talking about exactly what he talks about at the beginning of Rules for Meditation. Training and enlightenment are two different things. He puts it here in terms of needing to find Buddha within birth and death of this very existence. So the most important question for all Buddhists is how to understand birth and death completely. By understanding birth and death completely, he's not meaning some intellectual understanding about birth and death. The understanding of birth and death is the fully experiencing of birth and death, and the full acceptance of birth and death, really. Acceptance is actually crucial, absolutely crucial to this. If we accept that birth and death are the expression of Buddha, we don't have to deny them, we don't have to try and avoid them. If Buddha is already here within birth and death, we don't need to escape from the cycle of birth and death in order to know Buddha. Dogen's noticing that for most people, we're caught in this double bind of trying to escape from or avoid or deny birth and death or the nature of things, and trying to grasp for something which we think isn't here, grasp for something that we call enlightenment or call nirvana. The crucial aspect for this, for Dogen, is finding Buddha within birth and death. He's pointing out that if we want to know Buddha, we can only know Buddha here and now, because here and now is our only existence. We can't know it at some other time or in some other place, because we're not there, we're only here. If Buddha is always somewhere else, some other time, some other location, we can never know it. We can only know the Buddha that's right here, right now. What is it that's right here and right now? It's this very being. And this very being is subject to impermanence. Birth and death are the way that it's expressed. Without birth and death, there wouldn't be change, there wouldn't be growth, there wouldn't be the beings that we are. And he's pointing out to us that we don't need to avoid that mortality in order to know the truth. In fact, not only do we not need to avoid it, it's the very vehicle through which we can know the truth. But this understanding, this complete understanding of birth and death, we'd like to think it's something we can just kind of flick a switch or just decide, oh yes, I'll completely understand birth and death, or oh yes, I'll completely accept birth and death, and then that will be it. But of course we come to see that however much on a conscious level we might wish to do that, there are ways in which we have attachments. We're holding on to things. We're holding on to perhaps our fear of death, our fear of life sometimes, our doubt about whether actually we can just relax into life and accept it as it is. It's a work in progress, because it's not as simple as deciding, oh, I will accept. There's much more to us than just our conscious mind, and we come to see that the ways in which we cling, the ways in which we cause suffering for ourselves, are deeply rooted in who we are. They're deeply wired into us, and there's an ongoing process of coming to know them, coming to see them, and being willing to let them go when we see that they actually cause us suffering. Should you be able to find the Buddha within birth and death, they both vanish. And Dogen isn't here trying to deny the reality of birth and death. He's not saying they stop happening. They both vanish is in the sense that rather than living a life that is perhaps very much conditioned by our fear of birth and death, our worries about birth and death, our concerns, our doubts, whatever other concerns we might have about birth and death, rather than being driven by and conditioned by that all the time, they both vanish in the sense that when we completely accept them, they don't need to be an issue anymore, and we can live our life within this present moment, relaxing into this present moment, content within this present existence, finding joy within this present existence, without feeling that there's this dark cloud of this nasty thing called birth and death hanging over us. When we totally accept that we are birth and death, we are impermanence, we're changing all the time, we're growing or decaying, we're not the same from moment to moment. When we accept that that's the nature of things already, then we don't need to be scared of the change that is birth, the change that is death. We see that change is happening all the time, impermanence is our nature, rather than seeing it as some other thing that will come and get us at some point, seeing that it's actually the thing that allows us to live. But as I said, the acceptance of that isn't something we can just decide to do one day. It's something that we have to work through, seeing the ways in which we don't accept it and let go of those. And the more we're able to do that, rather than birth and death just vanishing in a flash like that, it's more like this big black cloud which we imagine hanging over us gradually dissipates, and we realise that actually it's a cloud of our own making. Birth and death is already what we are. And that's what he says at the beginning of the next four lines. All you have to do, sounds very easy, all you have to do is realise that birth and death as such should not be avoided. Of course, you can put that as another way. All you have to do is realise that birth and death as such cannot be avoided. What are we doing trying to avoid them? We're already within them, totally within them. When we realise that, we see the futility of all the effort that we put into trying to avoid them or trying to escape from them, which we can't do and which we don't need to do. And similar to saying they both vanish, he says, all you have to do is realise that birth and death as such should not be avoided, and they will cease to exist. For then, if you can understand that birth and death are nirvana itself, training the life that we live is already Buddha, the more we come to understand that, we come to see that not only is there no necessity to try to avoid them, but also there's no other thing other than this birth and death that we need to search for that's called nirvana. So it releases us from both of those aspects of trying to avoid birth and death and trying to grasp for this thing, which we don't know what it is, we've just got a name for it, nirvana, enlightenment, Buddha, that we think is some other thing or is elsewhere somehow. So just the acceptance of birth and death being the reality, impermanence being the reality, coming to see the ways in which we cling to permanence or an ideal of permanence, seeing that causes us suffering and letting go of it, that's the realising that birth and death as such cannot and should not be avoided. And when we come to that realisation, there's a sense in which they cease to exist, not because we won't die, we will, but they cease to exist in that they aren't continually having that effect on us of making us fearful or doubting or worrying. We see that they are just the natural way of things, and in accepting them, already birth and death are nirvana itself. This moment, this very life, can be the life of acceptance, and the life of acceptance of all that is right at this moment is the letting go of clinging, is the finding the end of suffering. And then there is no necessity to avoid them, and also nothing to search for that's apart from this very existence, this life here and now. And then to underline that, Dogen talks directly about impermanence. Impermanence offers no permanent succour, which is kind of obvious from the words. Impermanence isn't permanent. But somehow, we don't get that a lot of the time. And we we grasp after things that are in their nature impermanence, thinking that they will be a long-term permanent refuge. Impermanence offers no permanent succour. On what weeds by the roadside will the dew of our life fall? We're just a drop of dew on roadside weeds in the big scheme of things. And this very interesting comment, at this very minute, this body is not my own. Life, which is controlled by time, never ceases even for an instant. I think there's at least two aspects to that. One is pointing to no self, that there is no permanent self that owns a body. We kind of like to think that, okay, this body's impermanent and will die, but I'll be okay, won't I? Somehow, don't know quite how. But the Buddha points out that there is no such thing that survives life after life and goes from one existence to another. He doesn't say there's nothing that carries on, but certainly it's not the case that one being dies in a place and is reborn as the same being somewhere else. So in that sense, at this very minute, this body is not my own. There is no I to own this body. There is this body and mind that exists, but not as a permanent separate self that will endure. I think the other aspect, or at least one other aspect, is, as he says in the next line, life, which is controlled by time, never ceases even for an instant. We might think that this body as it is at the moment has a certain permanence, but that's just because we don't notice the impermanence that's going on all the time. Life, which is controlled by time, impermanence, which is the working of time, never ceases even for an instant. From one moment to another moment, we're not the same person. We're being changed by just the effect of growing up, growing older, either increasing or decreasing, but also by all the things that we experience. This is sometimes obvious when we have a major experience in our life, that we realise that before that and after it, we see things a bit differently. It might be our own illness, it might be the death of a loved one, it might be we're in an accident, or it might be we lose our job. All those things that are larger things in our life, we realise that we're a different person after than we were before. But actually that's the same of every single experience, that's the same of every moment. Life, which is controlled by time, never ceases for an instant. Impermanence is acting all the time. This body, which we might think is our own and that we're in charge of, is actually subject to all sorts of forces, many way beyond our control. Youth vanishes forever once it is gone. It is impossible to bring back the past when one suddenly comes face to face with impermanence. When we read that, it's obvious. Of course that's the case. But actually accepting that, fully digesting the reality of that, is what the ongoing work is. And as we carry on with that ongoing work, we're more able to accept the nature of things and realise that the fact that it is like that is not something we need to be afraid of. When we see that not only do we not have to avoid it, but we can't avoid it, then it's a question of, okay, this is the reality, do I want to live my life continually in fear of something that is here and is unavoidable, or do I want to live contentedly within it? And again, it's not something we can just decide to do, but through being willing to see how the fear acts on us, how the concern acts on us, how it makes us always disturbed, when we see that going on, it's clear that we want to let go of that and not be driven by that. But actually finding out how we come to accept that, how we come to let go of that fear, perhaps that frustration, that anger that we can't live forever, if that's what we're wanting, letting go of the desire for some kind of permanence, whatever we see that as, coming to see how we're getting entangled with it is why we sit down and meditate, why we sit down and are willing to look at our thoughts and feelings and see what's going on there. It's not a question of just deciding something, it's a question of sitting down and really seeing what the nature of things is, what the nature of our mind is, what the nature of our attachments is, and crucially, what the effect of those attachments is. And as we come to see that, naturally we want to let go of those. And as we're able to let go of those and accept the nature of those, of things as they are, this is coming to understand birth and death completely. And as Dogen says, that's the most important question for all Buddhists, because it really goes to the heart of the practice. What is this being right here and now? What is this existence right here and now? How do we find the end of suffering right here and now?